Welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington here in studio. Thanks for joining Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities of Clinton County. You can listen like you're doing now, I hope, on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM and Boone 102.7 FM. You can watch now on HoosierLandTV.com, streaming live on HoosierLand TV. If you miss any part of today's show, you want to go back and listen, you can do that on Spotify under Inside the Huddle and Casper Media, or you can go to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, click on the Sports tab, and click on Inside the Huddle. You can find all of our recent episodes. And if you're watching on Hoosierland TV, we've got some guests in studio today from Clinton Central Cross Country, Jenny Dunn and Spencer Dunn. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're doing great.
That's awesome. Well, you guys have had a lot of meets over the past few weeks. Tonight you have a fun one. It is a Twilight meet over in Terre Haute. Talk about, this has kind of been a bucket list item for you guys to be able to race in this event. It's one of the biggest races that you guys will go to and one of the bigger races in the state of Indiana. So talk a little bit about what you're excited for tonight at the Twilight race.
This is it's a really big race. There's supposed to be 4,000 at the meet. In our race, there will only be like 400, but we're really excited because this will be the state course. So we get to run over that and see how it is and enjoy it. Hopefully, go back later in the season. But it's also not one where we're super focused on winning, but it's just one that we can go out and run and have a good race. So it's really fun to go do that with the team.
Absolutely. And speaking of winning, you guys did a little bit of that over the past few weeks, and you especially last week at the or a couple weeks ago, I believe, at the Culver Academies race, you were able to place first in that closed division. Talk about the race that you had last week, or was it a couple weeks ago, or was it last week?
I think it was last week.
Okay. I'm getting my weeks mixed up, too. So talk about the race that you had, and you were able to come out on top.
I went into it running. I wasn't super locked in, I guess, for the race. And then I went out and I was in second. And then I passed the guy. And then I got passed. And then I was in second again. And then I passed that guy. And then nobody passed me back. So I was really just kind of pushing myself. But it was a really good meet for everyone, I think. I think we were all. It was a hard course, so I don't know if we got any PRs, but there was a lot of just experience running on hilly and hard courses, and that's definitely really good because our conference course has a lot of hills, so any training that we can get is really beneficial.
Talk about the mindset a little bit, because I almost feel like I would rather kind of be in second place as you go down the final stretch, because you can see that guy in front of you and it gives you that little extra push. Because if you're not racing and if you're in first and there's nobody in front of you, you're not really chasing anything. So talk about your mindset from that perspective.
Yeah, being in second and chasing someone down's it is helpful. But what usually is the best for me is when I'm in first and someone's coming up on me and then I don't want to let them pass me. That's usually when I get that extra gear and I can kick past them. Being in second and kicking them down is also really helpful. But sometimes they kick too hard and it's hard to get them.
There you go. Well, we'll switch it over to you, Jenny, and let's talk about kind of the season as a whole and what you've seen from some of your runners this season. And let's talk about the runners first, and then we'll kind of go through the season as a whole.
The season's been really good for the team, for both the girls and the boys team. One thing that's kind of difficult with cross country is we have a different course every week. So sometimes we have hills, sometimes we have flats, sometimes we have... Sometimes they're a little bit long, sometimes they're a little short, right? So it's supposed to be 5K, but it doesn't always land that way. So what's really nice is when we can compare year over year. And so when we look back, we have two of our girls, Kai Talby and Tanya Alleman. They ran with us last year, and they've had 3 and 4 minute improvements on the courses over the school this season. So that's been really phenomenal. They have 3 other girls, so we have a full girls team this year, which has been a lot of fun for them. On the boys' side, same thing. Not 3 and 4 minutes, but 30 seconds to a minute and a half improvements over last year. And then the times just keep coming down and down and down all season long. We have five of them returning from last year, but 3 of our seniors and then 2 freshmen ran on the junior high team last year. Matthew Dunn is number 1 on our freshman all-time list. He got that at the Marion invite this season. And Owen Wellman has been doing a great job. He's cut his time a lot from the beginning of the season. Same thing for, you know, everybody on the team. Carter Klein, he's our number 2 runner. He's cut, 30 seconds a minute off of some of his course time. So they're all really contributing factors to the success of the team for this season.
Presently, it looks bright for now, but also for the future. I kind of want to go back from a runner's perspective. You said you like to be in first place. Now, that's a situation I've never been in any type of race whatsoever. If you get the feeling that someone is trying to pass you, is that just a certain feeling that just overcomes you? Do you get whiplash moving your head back and forth trying to check on them? And is it like NASCAR? Kind of describe that feeling, because for someone like me who is bringing up the rear, if you will, we can't really understand that too much. So what's that like?
Usually, if I'm in first, some of the fans from the guy behind me will be cheering. So I'll kind of know he's coming. And sometimes they'll be farther away than I think, and I'll be running harder than I have to necessarily have to run. It's hard to describe. It's happened a few times over the last few seasons where I've been running and then somebody chases me, is on me, and then I just go faster. You could ask Carter about that. At one race, he was really about to get me, and then something about it. I don't want him to pass me, so I just keep kicking.
Is there any trash talk, like when you're getting close to a teammate saying, "I'm behind you, I'm right here"? Is there any type of friendly trash talk on that?
Hopefully, they're running so fast that they're breathing so hard they can't do that.
I would be needing a few instruments just to be breathing and everything like that. But Jenny, we were talking off air. Twilight, it's the state course. It's at Indiana State University. One of my former classmates at Western High School, Kyle Walsh, is the women's cross country coach there, and he's worked at Indiana State for many, many years. He ran there, things like that. Kind of talk about how this is kind of a bucket list thing for a lot of the kids to compete on, and also kind of talk about the opportunities that these guys and ladies might have to continue with cross country at the college level, not just running, but also working like a former classmate, like my friend Kyle is doing right now.
So the 3 senior boys have really been talking about Twilight for several years. And we just didn't have an opportunity to go. We had a meet or we had something else on our schedule. So that was one of the things that I really wanted to make sure that we got to this year. It is a fun meet. It's a different experience for them. I want everybody to have the opportunity to run on the state cross country course. It's a really good course, and it should be a fun event tonight. As far as running, or as far as post high school, we have 7 seniors this year, 3 girls and 3 boys, and our manager. And some of them have chosen colleges that they're going to. I know a couple of the boys are looking at running in college. They certainly, all of them, are great teammates. They work exceptionally hard. We have really hard workouts, and not once do any of them come and they're like, "Not doing it," or they complain or they are upset by anything. They go out there and they work hard really every practice. And so as far as being leaders on the team and leaders in a running situation, whether it's coaching or managing or something like that in college, then I think they would all be really beneficial to whatever team that they were a part of.
And that was one thing I always loved about my classmate Kyle Walsh, is he always came in with that can-do attitude. Mm-hmm. So when we knew that he was going to go to Indiana State and work and run and everything, we were not shocked by that at all, Sam. It was a pretty cool thrill to see you guys being running under the lights at Indiana State as well with the twilight too.
Yeah, talking with Clinton Central Cross Country, Jenny Dunn and Spencer Dunn. And let's talk a little bit about the rest of the season coming up after tonight's race. Then you have the conference race coming up and then straight into sectionals. So talk about the conference race a little bit. What are you looking at? Who is kind of the biggest competition at that race for you guys? And what is the goals going into it?
The boys team had three goals for the season: to win the county, to win the conference, and to qualify for regional. So that's their goal for conference. Probably the biggest competition that they face is from Delphi. We've done a little bit of, you know, reconnaissance on all the other teams, of course, because that's what we do. But we feel like it all depends on how the kids do, how they run on that day. So if everybody does their job, they have a good shot of meeting that goal. Same thing for the sectional meet. They are not planning to win the sectional meet, but they are planning to do really well. So again, if everybody runs their race, does what they need to do, then they should be pretty successful there. And the girls, go ahead.
Well, I actually had a question about the reconnaissance. Is there a site that you can check? Sorry, Sam. I mean,
I was also going to ask you're about this.
I was going to say, is there a site you can check? Are you hiding in the bushes somewhere? Like, what exactly is the reconnaissance? I think
scouts,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we have scouts that go to all the cross country meets with their timers. Yeah,
oh, no. That'd be awesome.
No, there are, what, Spencer, four or five sites that we can check that gives us information. Either how the teams did. It's nice when we all run at the same meet, because then we're on the same course. As I said before, you know, the courses are different. So somebody could have run on a really flat course and gotten a great time, and that kind of throws off. But, you know, we run against these teams. We're Central Indiana cross country meet, so we run against these teams over and over through the season. So usually we see them and we kind of know what they've got. I just want to mention for the girls, we have Hannah Jacobs and Tanya Alamon, Kylie Klein, Kai Talby, and Allie Rustin. So we have our five girls there. And they will do really well at conference. They probably won't win it. I'm not quite sure how they will place, but their times, they've just really improved so much over the season. So they I think, surprise themselves sometimes. I think some of the kids get up to the line and there's so many kids there that they get a little intimidated by that, especially we have three that have, you know, this is their first year with cross country. So they get a little intimidated by that. Sometimes going off the line, there's a little pushy shovey to get out there. And so I say to them, be aggressive, get out there. You can use your elbows in this sport too. But I think they'll go out there and surprise themselves a little bit at conference and do better than they think they might.
Now, for Spencer, you made it all the way down to the state race last year. You were one of three Clinton County runners to make it to the state race last year. And I'm sure that's a personal goal for yourself this year. How do you go about that race to race, ultimately keeping the eyes on the goal?
Starting with sectionals at the start of the tournament, we're working on our training right now. I'm at the end of the peak of my training, so we'll start decreasing in mileage, and so we're gonna start the taper. But I don't think we're gonna start it for sectionals, because at sectionals there's some good competition, and I might not win, something's going to go terribly wrong if I don't make it out. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to jinx myself, but it's likely that I will. But then for regionals, there's a lot more competition, because that's the next level. So that we're going to taper for that, and then that's when we're going to kind of get ready and get locked in. And then of course, we're going for a good run at state as well. But once you get there, you're there. So that one's not as important as regionals. So.
Right. Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. Last question I'll ask you guys, Gov. The race tonight, the race next week in the conference race, and then on to sectionals. How can fans who want to follow you guys and follow your progress over the final few weeks of the season, how can they stay in touch, and where can they go to find some results?
Clinton Central Athletics on Facebook always posts our results, and so they've been really great about, you know, pictures and how we're doing. And when we get into the tournament, the IHSAA website has lots of information, but probably the Clinton Center Athletics site is our best place to find us.
We appreciate you guys coming on. That's Jenny Dunn and Spencer Dunn from Clinton Central Cross Country. We wish you good luck tonight at the Twilight Race and good luck with the rest of your season.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That'll do it for quarter number one of Inside the Huddle. We'll be back in just a second with quarter number two. Carroll head coach Blake Betzner is coming up. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Students who can read by the end of third grade are 35% more likely to graduate. I'm Dr. Katie Jenner, Indiana Secretary of Education, here to tell you how reading 30 minutes per day can improve the trajectory of a child's life. Whether you are reading with your child or they are reading independently, this is one of the most important things you can do to help them succeed. So this school year, please encourage your child to continue reading. It's a small habit that makes a big difference.
Sponsored by the Indiana Department of Education and aired by this station.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, Sam Word and Kyle Etherington. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. We thank you for listening to Inside the Huddle or watching on HoosierLandTV.com. Remember, you missed any part of today's show, you can go back and listen on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media, or on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the Sports tab and click on the Inside the Huddle tab. We're now joined by Carroll football coach Blake Betzner. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Coach, your team was able to come out with the victory last night, 49-8 over Clinton Central. And talking to a couple of your players after the game, it was just good to, you know, finally get back in the winning column after having the bye week last week, coming off the loss to Eastern. So just talk about how that game felt for you guys.
Yeah, it was something kind of we looked forward to for sure. It's tough when you don't have a game. And usually in football, it's really bad when you lose because you hang on to it for a week. But we got to hang on for it for 2 weeks. So there's pretty bad taste in our mouth for those last couple weeks. So we really prepared the kids to change our mentality and how we prepare and how we do things. And I think they did a really nice job the last 2 weeks of kind of buying in again and understanding that we're going to get back to Carroll football and do kind of what we do. So I was happy for the boys. A lot of distractions. Last Friday when we played, 2 Fridays ago, we played Eastern. We didn't have school. So that was a different day for us. And then this Friday was awesome. We had the Operation Sunrise. We had senior night. We had homecoming. We had, you know, pep sessions. It was a crazy day at Carroll, but it was really cool to see everything that was going on and all the community stuff. It was a pretty cool day, but a lot of distractions, so I'm glad that didn't take away anything from them.
Yeah, it was a long day for you guys. Operation Football and up at 6 o'clock in the morning for that out at the football field, and then play the game at 7:30, and your guys are there all day pretty much. So just talk about what you saw from your team specifically. I thought the offense and specifically the offensive line played very well last night, making space for the runners and creating holes, and seemed like guys weren't touched until they were 5 to 7 yards downfield, and then they were breaking tackles and able to run for some extra yards. What did you see specifically from your team?
Well, we preach that a lot this week. You know, Carroll football is winning the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's been that way for the last 5 years that we own the line. I mean, that's our goal every game, is to own the line of scrimmage. And, again, we hit that really hard the last 2 weeks. I thought there was games this week, that this year, that we gave up the line of scrimmage sometimes. Against Eastern, we didn't win the line of scrimmage every time. So we really hit that hard this week. We got 3-4 really, really good running backs that were getting 4 or 5 yards when we weren't blocking many people. So we had a lot of film sessions where we got to get better, all the way around, our wings blocking, our, tight ends blocking, or all of our linemen blocking. So, I thought we took a step forward. I thought we took a step forward to kind of who we are and what we need to be going forward. But, that was a big emphasis this week of just winning the line of scrimmage.
And we ended up giving the player of the game to the entire offensive line unit. I thought that they played outstanding. And one guy specifically was Kingston Ayers, who did a little bit of both. I mean, played on the offensive line and then was the kicker. And, man, he was kicking some line drives. Ended up one that turned into a fumble, and you guys were able to recover that. Talk about what you saw from him yesterday.
Yeah, we wanted to give him some opportunities. It was funny because, we lost our kicker last year, so we've kind of been just changing out people to see, who could do it. And we were practicing. A lot of our kickers are soccer kids, and they had a game. And he was like, hey, because we were practicing kickoff return, he's like, I'll kick. And I was like, okay, yeah, this. I hope he's, 7-4 hamstring. And he kicks it 40, 50, 60 yards in the air. It's a practice field, so it's not line. So you're like, how far was that? And then we had him do it again, and, it wasn't as good. But then two more times, he kicked it really well. He can really kick it. I mean, what he did last night, I think he's a little nervous. Had a lot of line drive type stuff. But he can get it in the end zone with his kicks, and it was kind of a surprise. So we wanted to give him as many kicks as possible last night, just so that he felt comfortable going out there and later in the year. But, yeah, he's a great kid. He'll do anything you ask him to do. He played offense, defense. He hasn't played a ton of defense this year just because we've really focused on our offensive line and trying to get that where we want it to be. But he played defense last night the whole game. He played really, really well. He's just, a phenomenal football player, phenomenal young man.
Again, talking to Carroll head coach Blake Betzner after their win against Clinton Central last night, 49-8. And, Coach, your running game was firing on all cylinders last night, and you ran the ball quite a bit on the first few drives, and you only needed a couple pass completions during that game. Talk about what you saw from your running game. Aiden Wiles, Emery Deaton, Landon Hammond, Brady Yeakley had a great game too. So talk about what you saw from your running backs last night.
Yeah, I think that's where if I had to pick our top, group of everything, it's we have a lot of good running backs. Usually you have one, maybe two of those guys. We feel like we have four of them. We have our fullback, our two wings, and our quarterback can all, in any year, they could be getting 20, 25 carries a game. So when you got four of them that you feel like can run it at any time, we just haven't had that. We haven't had that many guys in the backfield at one time that can do everything those guys do. So there's a lot of talent back there. And you're not afraid to give to anybody. And that's the hard part. I'm a defensive guy. So trying to defend four guys and not knowing who's going to get the ball or who they're going to go to on, fourth and one, really changes how you got to play defense. So I know we gave a lot of carries to a lot of different guys last night just to kind of show that on film, and we're not afraid to give to anybody, and all four of them can really do a lot of things. And then, Brady Yeakley comes in, into the second quarter when we took out Aiden Wiles, and, he ran really well. He was getting, 6, 7, 8 yards a carry, and, he kind of didn't surprise us, but he showed it on a Friday night, which he hasn't done before.
Coach, on this Saturday morning, I want to talk about pancakes, and it's not because I skipped breakfast or anything like that. describe the concept of the pancake, because as we were walking out of the stadium last night, not to belabor the point of Kingston Ayers, but his senior banner was of him wearing sunglasses holding a stack of pancakes. Kind of talk about the importance of pancakes in football, and why is it such a big thing for linemen to get those pancakes?
Well, we don't really teach the pancake thing. I think they brought that they brought that on. But we do teach blocking to the whistle, and when that guy goes down, you know, stay on him. I mean, do not stop being on your guy until, you know, that whistle blows. That is your, you know, the mentality of, you know, you've got one guy to block, and if that guy makes the tackle, you didn't do your job. Football's a pretty simple sport where, you know, when you draw it up, you draw guys to block somebody else. And if everybody gets their block done, we're going to have a lot of success. They're going to tackle you at safety, you know, when we don't have any guys to block those guys. But so we really hit that hard. That is your guy, you know, or your area. Whoever shows up in that area, you got to block him, and you got to block him to the whistle. We did have, you know, and it's so hard because you get that aggression piece of it. Travis Tinsman last night got a penalty because, you know, he a little extracurricular pancake. He got the guy on the ground, and he jumped on him when he was kind of down. But it's hard. You know, it's hard in that realm where you're going full speed until the whistle, and then, you know, it happens, and the whistle blows, and okay, you know, the penalty. So we'll take some of those, you know, if they're not stupid penalties where, you know, it's, you know, late or whatever. We want to be really nasty. You know, inside football is a nasty game inside there. I mean, it's physical and it's no fun if you're losing. So that line of scrimmage. So we tell our kids, you want to be the nastiest guys up there, and if you can't move guys, we're in big trouble. So they got a little bit of that, and then the pancake piece of it would just be, you know, when he's dead, when you roll him, you can get on him. So, you know, I mean, until the whistle blows, you can end that block. So and that's kind of what Kingston's been really good at that for a long time.
And that was one thing that we really noticed last night compared with some of the other games that we've been covering this year. There were not as many penalties as what we have seen in the past, and it was kind of humorous, at least from my perspective. The one major penalty that was in the second quarter, it seemed as if three officials all threw their flags up in unison as if they just couldn't, as if they were just like, man, give me something to do out here, guys. So to kind of talk about the emphasis that you guys have placed on not getting those penalties and trying to find that balance between you want to be a tough warrior, but you don't want to cause those flags to end up on the field.
Yeah, that's a tough line. But, you know, and it gets easier to coach every week. You know, I think I enjoy coaching more as the season goes along because you're not teaching the, you know, it's week eight now, so you're not teaching the basic blocks and where to put your hands. And, you know, you've done that for now for 3 months. So they've learned, you know, you've had film sessions and, okay, you can't put your hands there. You can't do this. You know, make sure, you know, if we go on two, you guys hear it over and over and over again that you're not jumping offside. So I think just like, you know, practices, it goes faster, goes cleaner every week. I think that's how the games get. You know, you just get cleaner every week because you've done it for so long. And, you know, the sophomores that start for us are now, you know, we consider them juniors. Now, half a season as a sophomore, now you're a junior. So I think that's the part that kind of cleans up the penalties is just repetition. And, you know, they understand what they're doing and understand what they can't do. And then the other part is hard. I mean, it's a hard line to draw sometimes where you're playing really physical. But what I always tell the kids, just, you know, you got to be smart. As soon as you hear something, you can't, there's a difference between being nasty and like letting your emotions get, you know, take you over. As soon as you let emotions win, then you can't be nasty anymore. You're just looking to do something you shouldn't be doing. So we want to stay nasty. We don't want our emotions to take over the game.
And Sam, that's got to be probably the best part as a coach. At the end of the season, you're enjoying coaching more than you are at the start of the season. I've known a few people in my lifetime where it's opposite as well too. So Coach Betzner, that's good that you're enjoying the end of the season a little bit more than the start of the season. That congratulations on that, definitely.
Coach, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your process and your strategy when it comes to, you know, giving the younger guys some opportunities, because last night you guys had kind of built up a big lead in that second quarter, and you went to Reed Hayden at quarterback, and Brady Eakley got some more touches at running back. So talk a little bit about your strategy, because we saw it last night. last night set the record, at least looking at John Harrell. 31.3 was the average margin of victory last night. So talk a little bit about your strategy in these types of games to get your younger guys some opportunities.
Yeah, player development's huge for us. At a small school, we're not getting 10, 15 transfers every year. We're not getting new faces. But whoever's on our team is who's on our team for the next 3-4 years. So we understand those kids got to be built up. You can't just take your varsity team and build them up all year and not care about the kids that play JV and, you know, the kids are not getting a lot of playing on JV or just working towards it. So, I mean, any opportunity we get to get some kids some looks and some opportunities, and you don't know if you can play Friday night football until you play Friday night football. I've seen a lot of kids play Monday night football. They get on Friday, and they're not ready yet. So, Monday's hard to tell sometimes. McGuire Matthews, he was our defensive end all week. He hadn't started all year. You know, but I said, we're going to find out if he can play. I mean, we're just going to see if he can do what he needs to do. And he's another sophomore, so that would be making us start 4 sophomores on defense now. And he played great. And, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And that's what I really look for. I didn't care if he made a bunch of tackles, but was he going to do what we taught him to do all week? And he did. He did everything he was supposed to do all week, and that just shows me very coachable. You know, he's a sophomore, so strength and stuff like that will come. But he's going to do when you put him in. You know, you can trust that he's going to do what he's supposed to do. But yeah, we have a lot of those kids. You know, in the third quarter, we played our whole JV offensive line, which starts five freshmen actually. All five of them are freshmen. So we got a great freshman group. We had a new kid. He's a homeschool kid. His name is Quinn Kingery. And again, when we get some of these kids, 78, Aiden Pearson, we got him to come out as a freshman. He wouldn't put his hand in the ground. I mean, he would not touch the ground. He wouldn't go down and block. He was not going to do any of that stuff. And now as a junior, he's our starting right tackle, and he's a mammoth man, and he does a great job.
Big dude.
Kind of, yeah, he is a big guy.
Big
and
dude.
Just the nicest kid in the world. And yeah, just what represents Carroll football, a kid that just does what he's supposed to do. But Quinn Kingery, you know, is a homeschool kid, never played football before. You know, I didn't know how much he's going to play. He's a starting offensive lineman on our JV team now, and just continues to get better. He's 6'2", 260 pounds, and, you know, you can't teach that. So it's fun watching those kids develop. It's really, yeah, that's my favorite part of coaching, is seeing kids when they come in and seeing the kids when they leave and how much they've changed.
Talking with Carroll football coach Blake Bester. And Coach, looking at the last couple weeks here of the regular season, you're on the road a couple of times, and it's a shame that you guys only got 3 home games because of the just the changes in the schedule, but you're on the road at Clinton Prairie and then at Sheridan. So talk about just the thought process going into the final couple weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, so after the Eastern loss, we came back and we just said, you know, we got 3 games to get a lot better, you know, and we're going to do that next 3 weeks, you know, really focus on ourselves and just get back into Carroll football, how we want to play. And, you know, I thought we did that, you know, I think we checked off week 1. Clinton Prairie, and it's kind of funny, when I got here, you know, I thought Delphi would be our biggest rival, but the kids in Clinton Prairie kids, there's quite a rivalry there. So it's one of those games we never have to really get them pumped up for. They enjoy playing Clinton Prairie, and it's been some great games through the last couple of years against them. I think we have very similar type play, you know, big linemen and good athletes, and it's always a challenge for sure. And I know Coach will have them ready, you know, with all different kinds of stuff. I watched a little bit last night of their offense. They play 2 quarterbacks. They do a lot of different stuff. So it's going to be a long weekend for me trying to figure out kind of what they like to do. Yeah, I'd like to tell offensive guys, you know, it'd be nice if they just ran about 5 plays and I could tell them before they don't do that for some reason.
Yeah, not doing that over there at Clinton Prairie. Well, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on the 49-8 victory over Clinton Central. And we will be at the game next week at Clinton Prairie versus Carroll as a Hoosierland TV game of the week. So we look forward to covering you guys next week as well.
Thank you guys for all you do. Appreciate it.
That's head coach Blake Bester with Carroll football. We'll be right back with quarter number 3 coming up on Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfort?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Are you a student studying broadcasting at an Indiana college or university? Then come to the Indiana Broadcasters Association Fall Career Fair on Wednesday, October 23rd at 4:45 p.m. Radio and TV stations from across Indiana will accept resumes during the one-day event in Carmel. You can update your resume on-site with expert help. And attendees also have the chance to win Apple gift cards, Beats headphones, and an iPhone. More details and a list of jobs available can be found at IndianaBroadcasters.org. That's IndianaBroadcasters.org.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
WILO weather for all of north central Indiana. Today will be sunny with a high near 86. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 58. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 85. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number three now of Inside the Huddle. Sam Work, Kyle Etherington, and wanted to just quickly recap some scores from around the area last night. Of course, Carroll, we talked about that, beat Clinton Central 49-8. Eastern over Phelan Academy, and if you were watching the Hoosierland TV broadcast last night, we had some fun trying to figure out where Phelan Academy was, and Kyle, you found out it's by Jimmy John's.
Best sports team in the entire state of Indiana. They were able to find out it's just off of Meridian Street between 24th and Illinois. And yeah, there is a Jimmy John's a stone's throw away as well.
Eastern was able to take down Phelan Academy 67-0. Sheridan over Delphi 45-6. Taylor over Clinton Prairie 40-8. And we'll hear from head coach Kurt Schlicker in just a little bit. And then we'll talk a little bit about some other games going on across the area last night for Frankfort. They played North Putnam, and I know that was a closer game at halftime, but North Putnam was able to pull away 57-12 was the final score in that one. A surprise for Western Boone. Southmont took Western Boone down 26-23, and then Lebanon, you know, they continued their strong run, beating Danville 38-35. Big win for the Tigers. And after starting the season off with a loss, 22-14 to Pendleton Heights, Lebanon has rattled off six in a row under first-year head coach Josh Yoder. And they'll face Terre Haute North next week and then Harrison in a couple of weeks. So talk about the season from Lebanon this year.
It's been a terrific, as the season has progressed for Lebanon. A lot of times when you lose the opening game, you're a little bit concerned. Sometimes you might go back to the drawing board, or you just chalk it up to, hey, we got beat by a better team, or they played better than us, and let's just keep going with the formula. And Lebanon has really done a wonderful job and seems to be looking to be an early favorite in that state tournament coming up. Not too far away, too.
Moving off of football, we had a fun week on Hoosierland TV broadcasting a couple of volleyball matches, and then, of course, the football game last night in volleyball action. On Tuesday, Frankfort took down Clinton Central 3-0, and then on Thursday, Rossville winning the Hoosier Heartland Conference. They took down Clinton Prairie 3-0. Rossville now 20-2 on the year, 8-0 in Hoosier Heartland play, and they will take the number one seed into the Hoosier Heartland Conference Tournament. And I had a chance to talk to Coach Ellenwood yesterday, and Man, she's just so proud of that team. They came in with the goal of winning the Hoosier Heartland, and first time they've done that in quite a long time. 1988, I believe, was the last time that a Rossville volleyball team won the Hoosier Heartland Conference. So big stuff from the Rossville Hornets this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a single set dropped in all of conference play this entire season for the Rossville Hornets. Just a tremendous accomplishment. They've won a lot of sectional titles, especially in the last 5 years. And this year, it seems as if everything is firing all at once. And not only are they talking conference championship, not only are they talking sectional championship, but there are some big dreams that if they are able to play to the maximum of their potential and go even beyond that, there could be some good things in Rossville volleyball's future. And one thing in particular, and Coach Ellenwood would not mention this herself because that's the type of person she is, she got her 50th win the other night on the game of the week as well, too. Ellenwood did not say a single thing, but assistant coach Hall, she was almost out to midcourt to meet us when we had packed up, saying, hey, that was Coach Lexi's 50th win. Did you get that? And so, yeah, we definitely got that one. But also talking about Frankfort, I became a huge fan of a lot of the girls on that Frankfort Hot Dog team, especially Lily Rockhold.
Yeah,
Rockhold. Pardon me, I'm horrible with names, as everybody knows. But I, fantastic power from the net and just a wonderful job. Really impressed with that junior, 5'10" junior. So it's going to be fun to see what types of looks she gets with different colleges and at the next level, too.
Well, that'll do it for quarter number three. We're going to come back real quick in quarter number four with Clinton Prairie head coach Kurt Schlicker. We'll be back inside the huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers and Healthy Communities.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Las decisiones determinan los resultados, dan forma al futuro. Entonces, ¿qué camino decido tomar? ¿Quiero quedarme al margen mirando o ayudar a las personas necesitadas? ¿Debo preocuparme por cómo pagar la escuela o por cómo pagar mi educación? ¿Debo seguir igual o esforzarme y aprender nuevas habilidades? Para mí, la decisión es clara. Elijo servir a tiempo parcial en la Guardia Nacional del Ejército y mis resultados cambiarán mi vida. También puedo utilizar los beneficios de educación y matrícula que obtengo al servir para ayudar a pagar la escuela. Los otros soldados con los que sirvo tienen sus propias razones para servir, pero trabajamos juntos como un equipo para ayudarnos unos a otros a convertirnos en mejores líderes cada día. Todos tomamos la decisión de mejorarnos a nosotros mismos y a nuestro futuro. ¿Qué decidirá? Ingrese a nationalguard.com para obtener más información sobre servicio a tiempo parcial.
Patrocinado por la Guardia Nacional del Ejército de Estados Unidos.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington, now joined in studio by Clinton Prairie football coach Kurt Schlicker. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, we're doing good. Obviously, you know, you go on the road and, you know, I thought our boys played hard last night. A lot of compete there, a couple mistakes here and there. Certainly, Taylor has a very talented team, and I think they showed that last night. So, you know, I wouldn't say that we're disappointed. You know, you're always, no one gets on a bus and says, "Hey, I hope we go get beat by, you know, four touchdowns," or whatever it was. But you know, watching the film last night, you know, we always try to tell our players, nothing's ever quite as good, right, as you think it is, and nothing's ever quite as bad. You know, we had some really promising moments last night, and, you know, we just got to build off that.
It seemed like you guys had multiple opportunities to score early and often in that game, and you couldn't punch it in a couple of times, a fumble, an interception here and there. And so just talk about what you saw from your team, specifically in the red zone. Just seemed like you weren't able to finish a lot of drives.
Well, you know, we got it down there, and, you know, the kids are certainly trying to make the right play. That's what I always say. You know, no one goes into the huddle and says, hey, I'm going to try to mess up this play. And so, you know, sometimes it comes down to execution. A lot of times, you know, you got to give the other team credit for making a good play down there. You know, we had a lot of really good plays last night. You know, you watched the film last night. You're like, you know, some really nice blocking on certain things. You were just maybe a step off, right? Instead of stepping with our left foot, we're stepping with our right foot. And, you know, you can ask any coach, that stuff matters quite a bit, especially when you're playing a talented team. So hopefully those things are correctable. You know, I thought Ryder Mitchell ran the ball really well last night for a sophomore. He gave us a really nice look. You know, Alex King had a nice game for us on offense. Certainly Kai Jacobs always draws so much attention. You know, we had a scare with Jarbo early in the game. You know, thought maybe, you know, but he gutted it out and came back. And I thought Braden did a nice job. And, you know, Trendon Kaser has continued to make a couple nice plays for us. So, you know, I think we have the weapons there. But the execution, you know, when you're playing good teams – you know, you just can't make mistakes, and you know, and I call them mistakes, but turnovers are killers. When you win a turnover battle, generally you got a chance to win a game. But nobody goes in, you know. I always say, like, it's easy. You watch a football game, right? And there's a handoff, and the running back gets smacked in the backfield. Everyone's like, "Hey, come on, O line, you got to block." Well, maybe they did block it properly. Maybe there was a screw-up in the backfield. Maybe the call was wrong. You know, there could be other things going on. You know, our quarterback certainly doesn't say, hey, I'm going to try to throw an interception here, right? Maybe the route was not run properly. Maybe, you know, maybe the timing was off because we did just quite miss a block. So, you know, that's why most teams like to run the ball, right, because there's a little less chance, right, you, whatever that Woody Hayes, all these things, right, you throw the ball, two of the three things that happen are bad, right? It's either incomplete or you intercept it, so... you know, but we like to, you know, we'd like to be able to think we could throw it some. So the turnovers certainly have hurt us in our losses this year. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, ball security is something that as we move forward here is going to matter.
And we talked about this a little bit, but when we covered the game that Taylor had against Clinton Central, we were very impressed by Taylor quarterback Javion Harris. And, man, he had a great game last night, a pick six and a couple of outstanding runs. And we said, man, at this level, you don't see a lot of athletes like him. What did you see from the Titan quarterback, Javion Harris?
Yeah, he obviously is a very talented player. You know, just you kind of watch the game. Some of the snaps that he catches with one hand, you know, he caught a couple last night. The ball's high. He reaches up and grabs it out of the air like, whoa, that's easy. You know, on tape, we tried some different tackling drills this week because we knew it was going to be difficult. And yet he still was able to make a couple runs. A couple times, right, we peek inside. We call it peeking inside when you're supposed to keep contained. Well, against that kind of speed, you can't really peek inside. So, and unfortunately, sometimes for players like that, and it's hard to simulate that in practice. You know, we're looking at a roster. We don't have anybody that looks like him. You know, I'm saying like the athletic ability of him. So if we did, he'd be playing, right? So... So that was a little bit of it, you know, getting up to game speed last night. And, you know, he made a couple nice throws, too. He really did make a couple nice throws last night. And, you know, when he plays well, they're a very dangerous team. There's a reason why they won that sectional last year. And you can ask anybody in that sectional that they're a dangerous team. They really are because of that ability. And, you know, our goal is to be a dangerous team, too. And we feel like we can do that. We've had some moments this year. I think we're a little banged up. I think most teams are a little banged up this time of year. Even just talking to the Taylor coach last night, you know, you get these little bumps and bruises, and that can really impact your practice sometimes. And I don't think it was our best week of practice, and I don't know if that was – I don't say it was mentally. It's just we weren't able to get that week that – we had a really good week of the Delphi week. And, you know, as a coach, you know, yeah, you have to kind of – try to balance that in terms of when you have injuries of what we can get done and, you know, how much contact you want. You try not to have too much contact in practice. And, you know, I think the boys were disappointed last night because they felt like they could compete And, you know, I always say in football, too, like the score, whatever the score was, you know, it's really like a 5-1 baseball game, right? We got beat like 5-1. If it was soccer, it's 5-1, right? I mean, they scored how many ever touchdowns, right? We scored one. We fumbled at the half-yard line, you know, so we should have scored a couple more, right? But the game does look like it's out of hand sometimes when you see a score like that. So, you know, we got to bounce back. We got some home games coming, right? We've been on the road. We still only played 2 home games, and we're getting ready to play week 8. So, you know, I know our boys are excited. You know, we've got youth night coming up. We've got homecoming coming up. We haven't had any of those things yet. And so I know our boys are excited. And certainly with this weather, shoot, it still feels like August, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Burn bands throughout most of the northern half of the state. I think in Frankfort, there's a burn ban just in the city limits, but I'm sure the county is definitely not encouraging people to burn anything as well, too. So you're absolutely right. I am my father's son in the fact that I'm the eternal pessimist. I can remember sitting in the stands and hearing people say things like, you got to block better, or you can't throw the ball so much. And I kind of sit back and think, wow, genius coaching right there, you know, stuff like that. So I definitely can understand that type of talk about just the thinking that goes into just one play, because I think from the stands, I think it's easier to see everything and not see anything. I think Bob Knight said that only a few people can coach a game or a sport, but a lot of people think they can coach that sport. So kind of talk about just the thinking that goes into just one play or one sequence for you as a coach, because I think it's a lot more complicated than a lot of armchair quarterbacks would like to think it is.
Well, you know, you definitely have a game plan when you go in, right? And you're trying to, you know, you think that you have an advantage in one area or another. And a lot of times with play calling, too, you're always trying to set something up, right? I mean, you're running something, and if they, like, for instance, last night, they were very strong on a couple of our plays, and we were able to find a counterplay to it, right? Because you're trying to see, you know, how the defense is reacting, because you watch the film, but, you know, our offense is different, hypothetically, let's say, than Central. So they may have defended Central slightly different, even though it looks like the same, whether they're slanting, whether they're playing man, whether they're playing zone, you know, what they're doing with on the edge. So, you know, every play, you know, you practice it, and you know, last night we didn't execute a couple plays that we worked on and we thought maybe we had a shot to get. You know, you could argue that some of those play calls weren't great, you know, and I made them. And, you know, so it's difficult because you're not always going to be perfect as a play caller. And, you know, sometimes the opposing coach can get you. What you're trying to do, I would argue that a couple of their touchdowns last night were broken plays. Mm-hmm. It was a broken play. The outcome wasn't the intent really of the play. Now, I would say it's smart coaching, though, because the ball is in the right man's hands. Right. I mean, so they got the right guy with the ball. He can make those plays. Right.
I would gladly allow Javion Harris to have any type of broken play, because I would feel confident that he would be able to make a really good decision just because he's that intelligent,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I'm not saying their play calling wasn't solid. I'm just saying sometimes you can make a play call, and it looks like and it ends up being a great play call.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you think you've got to play, and it just doesn't work. So the thing is, too, you know this, you don't have a lot of time between plays. So you're always, as soon as you make that play call, the next play call is in your head. Like, there's a sequence going on. Like, okay, you know, what are we trying to get to? What you know, where are we trying to get the ball? Where's the ball at? What are we really thinking here? And then a lot of times, you know, play calling can be a little bit, who gets the ball, right? Nick Saban used to say, it's not really the play you call. Is who you're giving the ball to, because you got to give the ball to the right guys. And those guys are the ones that can make plays for you. So, you know, last night, obviously, we didn't do that enough. And, you know, that's always starts with the coach. I do believe that. Like, you're always trying to find a better way. But we just need to execute a little bit better. You know, I'm the same way. You know, I go to a game, and I can sit here and say, gosh, that was really poor coaching. Like, I'll give an example. I thought last week, and I know this is the Iowa-IU game.
Welcome back, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
The best prediction I have ever made in my life. I knew you were going there.
Well, anyway, we've got some family and my kids being involved with the IU football team. Anyway, it's like second down, and Iowa blitz, right? They brought the safety down, and they blitz. And I'm up there in the stands thinking, gosh, they should have thrown – If you watched the play before, Surratt was open. Mm-hmm. But they didn't throw it to him. I was shocked that Iowa ran the exact same blitz then on third. They ran the exact same blitz while Iowa or Indiana had it figured out, and they got it to the right guy. So I would argue that, you know, Iowa's defensive coordinator made a bad choice there to play like man in that situation because – so, you know, sometimes as a coach, you know, everything is a bit of a gamble. You know, we tried a trick play last night. It didn't work. And, you know, I give their kid credit for making a really nice play. And I'm not disappointed that, you know, we've practiced it. We just didn't quite get it executed the way we want. So, you know, as we work into, you know, this last part of the season, I think you're always trying to build on your strengths. And you just want to make sure that whatever that strength is, that you're able to counter whatever the other team is doing.
And I think that was one thing that Sam and I have remarked, not just on air, but also off air, too. That looking at scores just from around the state, sometimes it's a really, really close game, and other times it's a major time blowout. I think we saw a couple of scores from around, not this area, but just from around the state that were just, you look at the scores and it's like, holy cow. I think a lot of times people tend to forget that It a lot of times it depends on the players too. I mean, if I go up against let's say a Division III football team, then I go to Bloomington and play the Hoosiers. You know, I could have beat that Division III junior college team by 70 points, but if I go to Bloomington, I'm not going to score as many points. You know, even if I tried, and I got the same players, game plan probably might not have changed too much and everything like that. So kind of talk about just how important personnel is, because I think a lot of people see these scores, and I don't think scores really tell the whole story of the game, like what we were saying earlier.
Well, there's no doubt about that, right? You know, the players are still the ones that go out on the field and have to execute and do it. You know, there's a game plan, but you know, if you can physically dominate, you know, in your one-on-one battles, or you can win those one-on-one battles more than your opponent, you know, unless you're turning the ball over, you should win the game.
And yeah,
you can
absolutely.
You can get a feel for that down on the field. You know, you can get it from the stands, obviously, too. But, you know, and that works on both sides of the ball, right? If you can get movement, then I'm saying on offense, then you ought to be able to run the ball. And on defense, if you're getting – and you're keeping your lanes, but you're getting through, their offensive line is not getting pushed, then you've got a great chance, right, to win the game. So it's not just the line, though, right? You can see that last night, right? There's skill that's involved. Players make a huge difference, right? And we all know that. That's why, you know, everybody's always trying to get the best players. What you want is the perfect combination, right? Mm-hmm. You want the players that really want to play. You want them who are dedicated. They work hard. They're a team guy first. And then they obviously have some talent. And, you know, great teams do tend to gel. They come together and they become more team-oriented and less individual-oriented. And, you know, as coaches, you know, we all fight that. We all publicly say, you know, we're doing well. You know, we're really gelling as a team. but, you know, there's always that, you know, trying to get the kids to really buy in completely. And, you know, it's some years, yeah, and it's the same at every level. You know, some teams do it very well and some teams don't.
Yeah, and just comes and goes.
Well, you know, you try to be consistent, but, you know, Alabama was consistent there, but Saban also was getting NFL talent, you know, and he did. I'm not taking anything away from Saban, right? So you got to have good players. You know, you have to have great players, but, you know, we could find some examples here of guys who've had success. Like Bill Belichick, right? Greatest NFL coach ever. Well, he doesn't look like the greatest coach of football right now in North Carolina. I mean, I'm not... But it's the truth.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Players absolutely matter.
Well, that was the one thing that they always asked Saban before I turn it back over to Sam. The one thing they always said to Saban, they said, how come you're not going to the NFL? He said, well, either I could get one first-round draft pick once a year, or I could get 8 or 9 first-round draft picks every year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay at the University of Alabama, Roll Tide.
Hey, so. I just want a quick shout out here. The Farmers Bank here in town has allowed us to help them with a little community service project today. And we've had several boys get up this morning and show up. I want to give a shout out to those boys real quick. Connor Sue, Jackson Price, Luke Harshbarger, Jackson Wells, Gage Kuzmick, Hayden Patton, Alex King, Braden Jarbo, Kai Jacobs, And Wyatt Hartsberger would be there, but he had a little nick last night. But anyway, I wanted to thank the Farmers Bank here in town for allowing us to work with them. You know, it's always great to – we've got so many great businesses and support in the community here. I know all the high schools feel that way. We're lucky to have people in town in this community that really care about not just football but all sports. And I just want to say thanks to them and thanks to our players for doing that. And I would like to also give a big shout out just to all of our coaches from our junior varsity coaching staff has done a fantastic job this year. I think we're 5-1 right now. Our junior high has just done a great job. We're pretty young in junior high, and yet we've had some really great victories. We had one this week. So Shan Sheridan and his crew there, and in our youth football, our numbers are strong. We play in the Lafayette League. And anyway, I just want to thank all the people of the community. You know, anytime you lose, there's always going to be some disappointment, and you're like, we're not there yet. You know,
been there many times.
Yeah, you know, like, hey, our boys are working hard, and you know, we're going to bounce back, and we're going to make you proud. So I want to say thanks to everyone.
And you guys will be on the Hoosierland TV Game of the Week 2 weeks in a row. We'll have your game from next week at home against Carroll, and then at home against Eastern. And you guys have an opportunity to play a little spoiler. Both of these teams kind of fighting with Sheridan as the conference race closes down, but also an opportunity to beat a couple of really good teams and then build some momentum as we head towards sectional play.
No question. You know, we've got a tough schedule here. These teams are always good. They're well coached. But it's an opportunity. I think that's the way we have to look at it, right? It's a great opportunity for us to show what we can be and build that momentum going into the tournament.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on and talking a little Clinton Prairie football with us.
All right, guys. Hey, any predictions for today? I'd like
We do
got
have
some
a couple.
Picks.
So,
I use on bye week.
So I saw that.
I don't know what to do.
Are the Boilers going to do it today or not? That's what I need to know.
Well,
I'm not a Boiler fan. But.
I saw a stat, and this is going to be the funniest stat you'll hear.
Let's go.
The Boilers are 0-10 weeks after Taylor Swift releases an album. And, of course, Taylor Swift released an album on Friday.
Where
so,
in the love of Pete did you find that stat?
There's some crazy stat people
that
out there.
That is why we are the best sports team in the entire state. That's good.
That's impressive right there.
That's
so I'm going
good.
All in on the Illini. Is what
there
you're
we go.
Okay.
Exactly. two ranked-on-ranked matchups that I want to pick from. Vanderbilt, Alabama. And then Miami, Florida State, the nightcap tonight. We'll start with Vanderbilt and Alabama. And, of course, and this was a big upset last year, Vanderbilt over the Tide. So I think after watching what Alabama was able to do against Georgia, I think that Alabama is going to be able to come out with a victory.
I'm going to have to go with Alabama. As much as that pains me to say, I'll go with Alabama. Coach, what are you thinking, my friend?
Yeah, I understand your thought process, but I'm going underdog again. I'll go Vanderbilt.
Oh,
this
I love
year.
It.
Oh,
well, there
we
go.
We have to Vandy. Why not? 2 years in a row. Let's go.
Miami FSU. The Hurricanes beat my Irish early on in the season. Kind of need them to keep winning. Florida State coming off the loss to Virginia, bounce back game at home at Florida State. This is going to be a really fun game to watch, really tough game on both sides. I think Carson Beck is able to pull this one out. I'm going to go with Miami.
I'm going Chief Osceola every single time, man. At Florida State, just a tremendous atmosphere. I'm going with that one. Coach, how about you? What do you got?
I think Florida State bounces back. They're probably looking ahead last week, and I'm going to go with the Seminoles today.
There we go. There's our picks for college football. Coach, we appreciate it. That'll do it for this edition of Inside the Huddle. Remember, you can catch Inside the Huddle every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 o'clock and listen to all our past episodes on Spotify under Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. For our entire crew, Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.